Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year.
Hear that sleigh. Hey, everybody. Ice Gamer Podcast here. It's your probably favorite number one, probably unaffiliated movie podcast in the world, probably.
And it's The Real Dump, which is like your favorite not a real podcast podcast.
Yeah, just a lot of probablys and maybes. Yeah. That's Trill Ballins. We're also joined by LCP Ken Jack. So we had a great episode this past week. Coley came on from Barstool.
Baba Booey.
Mixtape. And people liked it. People liked our Disney rankings, so thank you for listening, thanks for interacting. People got really mad at us with a lot of stuff, which was kind of the goal. A lot of people not happy. We didn't even mention the name Little Mermaid. I mean, nobody even uttered those words, and Moana got no love at all. I think Moana – look, I like Moana a lot. I think Moana has a little too much recency bias. Moana's a good movie, but Moana is not a top 10 Disney movie.
Yeah, so many of those are top 20. Little Mermaid's for sure. I like Little Mermaid, but putting it ahead of Aladdin and Lion King and all these great Pixar movies, I can't do. And a lot of people brought up some of the older classic Disney movies, and I've said before, I don't think they hold up that well compared to the newer ones. They you know, Sleeping Beauty, some of the originals, Snow White, all those, Bambi, Dumbo. We trashed Bambi and Dumbo, but they just, you know, they were like a 1960s sensibility, and it's just, you can't stack those up next to like the complex characterization of Abu the monkey from Aladdin.
Yeah, it's like stacking up like Fat Lever versus like LeBron James and being like, oh, well, he did really good in 1972. Like, yeah, no shit. It was going up against garbage, so now it's going up against really good stuff, and we have a much higher quality of the game.
This podcast, what we're going to be known for is we just talk shit on classic movies because we're like more recent movie guys. I think that's what separates us from like most movie podcasts is like Jeff is the only film buff, and Ken Jack and I are like idiots who like movies, but we spell like L-I-E-K.
Exactly.
Like, I like movies.
You know what, Casablanca, suck a dick. You are not, you're overrated. Casablanca, we don't endorse you at LCP.
Yeah, going back to La La Land, like every like pretentious film buff is like Mia, and she's like, "Oh, this is the window they filmed Casablanca from," and I'm like, "I don't care. Shit. I want to see the tree that fucking Arnold slammed the Predator into, or whatever."
I want to see the parking garage that collapsed in Fast and the Furious 7.
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
I want to see the Voldemort fetus prop.
We talked about the Voldemort fetus prop, and which one of you said you'd like to redo your what movie prop you'd like to have in your home? Who said they'd want the Voldemort fetus prop?
I do. And I want like a long glass coffee table, and I want to put the Voldemort fetus on top of the coffee table. It looks like a MoMA art installation. It's like the emptiness of mankind.
Is it going to be like animatronic? Is it going to be like writhing like the actual one, or is it just going to be like a dead prop?
I think it's just going to be a dead prop. I don't know if I want to put that much money into it. That Voldemort fetus is so fucking out of place for that movie, though. Like, I did watch that last Harry Potter again last week, and I think Freeform, formerly ABC Family, shows those Harry Potter movies like 24/7. Well, not 24/7, 24/2 on the weekends.
That was big news, actually. They're not doing that anymore, Harry Potter weekends.
Really?
That's fucked up.
I
don't know.
It's nice just like on a lazy Saturday or Sunday, and you know Harry Potter's at least on. Like some comfort in this world.
I can see Ron do eat slugs.
We will have to talk about Harry Potter movies at some point. Probably whenever the
Fantastic Beasts movie come out again. The second Fantastic.
The Fantastic Beasts movies. We'll have to rank some Harry Potter movies and talk about those. I have a lot of problems with those movies.
I thought they were all delightful. I'm just not a Harry Potter guy. I think, did you guys grow up reading the books?
Yeah. I don't know if I had mentioned that in the podcast. Like, one of my best friends growing up, his family is from Europe, and they got, like, Ireland specifically, and they got the books super early. And their family shipped it over before it started publication in the U.S. So, like, we got super into them really early and went to, like, all the midnight releases and everything. And then we became, like, those assholes that hated the movies because they weren't on base with the book.
I just remember there being, like, threads on the Something Awful forums or whatever about people, like, driving by Borders when it was still open and, like, yelling, Voldemort dies.
Yep.
Like, at the midnight release, they skip to the last couple chapters and then they just drive by. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever. And I'm sure that was a grievous offense to you guys.
Never happened.
You young and brash Harry Potter dorks. Go with God.
My issue will always be is the fact that they use so many things in that movie once and then never again, like incredibly useful magic things. And I think the one thing pointed out by a YouTube video, I forget what it was probably like CinemaSins or something, where all these movies leading up to like one of the last few, Mrs. Weasley always had like magic cleaning her dishes. And then one of the last ones, she's physically cleaning the dishes herself. And that just, that's that. I got such a nitpicky thing to have bother you, but.
Miss Weasley's blue collar, man.
I got a Roomba, man.
Sometimes
I just like to vacuum, though, because the Roomba doesn't take care of, like, full things. So, like, maybe she just can get, like, the magic bangers and mash off her plate with the magic cleaner person.
We'll get a big Harry Potter podcast. But for now, we're talking some movie news. Not much this week, because we want to talk about something incredibly not related to movies, and that's restaurants. Because we were talking about Arby's last week, and we wanted to do this last week, but we ran out of time. So we're going to talk about it this week because Real Dump, like Trill said, is like, it's kind of, it's like maybe a podcast. It's not like really. The, you know, the real thing. So
we'll
talk a little movie news.
This is the pop culture portion of our like entertainment pop culture thing. Cause there's not a whole lot of entertainment pop culture podcasts out there. So we'll go into pop culture.
Exactly. It's a subgenre of like our LCP media conglomerate. Like it's just our subgenre of discussion opening.
We'll devolve into like a Bill Simmons like type podcast where we just invite a family member on to talk like bad gambling picks too.
Let's get into a little bit of news.
First up, I have a note here, Trill, don't worry, to play Rock Me Amadeus to end the pod. I'm not going to forget this week.
We're talking Frozen. Guess what? The people have won. It's been pulled from theaters. Frozen will no longer be in theaters before Coco. The short venture, enough people complained, enough people got pissed off. We had somebody tweet us, one of our followers, one of our listeners said that he asked, just for the hell of it, asked his, like, the theater manager where he went, how long it was, and she said, like, oh, it's only 5-6 minutes long.
What?
That is such an egregious lie. It's like not
oh
even,
my God.
If you say, like, oh, it's, like, 15-ish minutes, like, okay, I'll let that fly, 5 or 6 minutes long, you're almost 100% off on the time.
Second outrageous lie.
It's 21 minutes. It's like a full episode without commercials of young Sheldon. Good. No, I'm glad they're doing this. Although they should do it immediately and not Friday, December 8th, that they set this arbitrary deadline. They're going to use it. They're going to have one of those commercials like where it's like, it's going to be locked away in the Disney vault for 85 years. So go buy it on DVD. It's like your last chance to see the Coco Olaf's magical Christmas escapade.
Well, they're selling toys for it. And I got to tweet the picture up. But I saw a commercial yesterday. And just like it's toys of the characters singing the songs and all that from the movie.
Oh, my God.
From Olaf's Frozen Adventure. Not even like, oh, just regular Frozen toys. They're selling products from the animated short, which I hate calling it a short. It's not a short.
They should have showed on
21 minutes is not short.
Just show it on the Disney Channel. I mean, just do it there. I mean, you can still sell the toys. I bet you'll get a bigger audience for it.
It was originally going to be a primetime special. So, I mean, that was what the point was. But then they threw it before Coco. And
they should have done that, dude.
Air it during the Super Bowl or something. They have enough money for merchandising.
People would have watched the shit out of that, too.
Yeah, Ken Jack, they should air a Christmas special
during the Super Bowl,
Super Bowl in February.
Got to build up anticipation, man.
Okay. For next year?
got a blue ball them for the year.
2018
so
Christmas.
Technically, by the Oscars standards, it is a short because it's like 40 minutes or less, including credits.
What?
However, that's just not – when you say Pixar shorts, these Pixar shorts that have won Oscars are not long, you know?
And the brevity of them is like the drawing factor. They can do so much in 7 minutes, and that's what's cool. And this one's not going to get even this one's not going to sniff an Oscar for sure. I don't think.
No,
it's just not. It's not good. It's just it's not good. The music wasn't even good. Frozen has good music, and the music here was not good.
Yeah, the music was bad. The singing was bad. The song, like everything about it, was just the story was even trash too. I'm very happy they let it go.
I don't think the singing was bad.
Oh, boo. Boo.
I thought the singing was good. I just think the songs were schlocky and like it was a Christmas special. So what do you want from him? Like it's just hard to make a compelling Christmas song. I feel like all the good Christmas songs are taken.
They did that already though in the first episode.
Let It Go reference. Just need to point that out. I'm sorry.
I was trying to think of a better way to shoehorn it in, but there you go, fellas.
I completely missed that you're making a joke and I addressed your point seriously. So
So that's Frozen. I'm going to say, you know what? It was probably because of us they pulled the movie. Is that fair to say? Probably?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I you know, anytime you can draw causation out of correlation, you got to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's going to check your math.
You got to tweet that out. LCP causes – that's a new headline. LCP causes Frozen short to go on ice.
Good for us.
Or something like that.
Let's move on to some horror movies. And by horror movies, I mean horror movie, because just one, Halloween 2018, the rebooted Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis, Danny McBride is writing. I like this, though. Ken Jack, you're shaking your head. I did like this headline. They're going to try and go with tension over gore and violence for this movie. That makes me kind of want to see this now. I mean, I'm going to see it, but now like have some excitement to see it, because I think we've talked about it before. Silence and tension and like the idea of building up, like you saw in Get Out, where you're on the edge of your seat. Or what's the one I forgot last year that was really good? It was the one where
what's his name? The dude from Avatar.
Yeah. I forgot
the
name.
Don't breathe.
Don't breathe. Giovanni, yeah, quiet.
Imagine him in a horror movie.
Yeah, Ted 2 with Giovanni Ribisi, great horror movie. But I'm buttering on this. I like if they're really going to go with a serious old school horror movie where it's about tension and not Michael Myers just murdering all these young teenagers having sex like in the last couple ones from Rob Zombie, then you know what? Okay, I'll give it a try. Well, I don't need the jump scares and the gore. Give me just some tension that gets me going the entire movie. Tension and quiet to me is far scarier than whatever the hell they've been doing.
In my mind, Rob Zombie talks like he sings. So he's directing a movie. He's like, now it's time to film the scene. Now it's time to cut the scene. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good joke, Joel. This says Laurie Strode doesn't even know that Michael Myers exists until the last minutes of the movie. So that's kind of interesting. Like, what do I mean by last minutes? Like last 60 minutes of the movie? Like last 5 minutes of the movie? Because if something's like weird and Laurie's knowing it's weird, she's going to have to know it's Michael Myers. Like, she's been dealing with this dude for 30 years, 40 years, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm buttering it too, by the way. I think relatively to the news, because like we had mentioned before, I like suspense movies a lot. And if they're going to get away from just like a gory fuckfest then and into like more something that's actually going to catch your attention, I'm into it. So I'm buttering the news, but I'm not buttering the movie because horror movies suck butt.
I'm buttering this because I like this trend of comedy writers writing like horror thriller movies. Like, and the trend is Jordan Peele. And the second data point is Danny McBride. So I'm interested to see what he does on this. I really am. I'm buttering. I'll probably go see it in theaters. You know, we'll review it on the podcast when we're huge and successful and picked up by multiple sponsors next year.
Yes, agreed. So yeah, I think we're all buttering. Let us know what you guys think.
Or don't. I mean, we want you. I'm just saying, don't feel obligated to respond to us. I'm just saying, like I the last thing I want a listener to do is to feel like they have to respond to us on Twitter. We're not forcing you to do it.
But we are forcing you to unsubscribe, resubscribe, and then unsubscribe and resubscribe again so we can get sponsors and go big. I mean, Troy, you may not agree, but I'm just calling that a requirement.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I think if you unsubscribe and resubscribe, you should also buy a t-shirt on TeePublic.
We have some new ones coming out, maybe some Christmas ones. We'll see. Check our Twitter, check our Reddit, r/lightscamerapodcast.
Can we talk about the masked tuxedo shirt? Can we tease that a little bit? We got something coming out in 2018 that involves a classic cinema character who I'm very fond of and a general theme of a tuxedo t-shirt along those lines. So I mean, just put that together.
Keep your eyes peeled. Cool. Yeah, it's going to come out of nowhere. Last bit of movie news before we move on. And we're not going to talk about The Room here. I mean, well, we're not going to talk about The Disaster Artist, which Ken Jack and I saw and we loved. If you missed it, Ken Jack gave it a 96. I gave it a 94. One of the coolest theater experiences I've ever seen. We also did have one of the shittiest theater experiences at the same time, but we're going to save that for the podcast.
Oh, God.
Which is not this week because we're talking to Donnie Does. Donnie's coming on from Barstool. He's going to talk about some Chinese movies with us, some foreign movies, and we're looking forward to that. But the week after, because we want more people to see Disaster Artist, because I know it's not playing everywhere yet, we're going to review that. James Franco's incredible, but one of his next roles apparently is going to be playing Shel Silverstein, the famous author. What do we think about that?
I don't really care. I like Shel Silverstein. I thought Where the Sidewalk Ends is great, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe James Franco has bought himself a little bit of capital, and because of that, I'll probably see it. But I'm just like, it doesn't really seem all that interesting to me. I don't know what you guys think, but it's just kind of like, eh. I do want to see him. Like, it wasn't Shel Silverstein. I think he passed away in like 2005 or something like that. But wasn't he like bald with a beard?
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm really interested to see James Franco do. It's just like shave his hair and grow out a beard.
Yeah, he will look pretty different. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Shel. I'm just not interested. It's like, who cares about poetry? I don't care about poetry. I'm looking at memes of Arthur or what Jerry has iPad. Why would I want to look at poetry? So just not interested at all.
Are you buttered to the live action Arthur movie?
The live action Arthur movie? Who's playing what?
I don't know. I'm just surprised it hasn't happened yet.
If The Rock is Buster, I'm in.
Speaking of kids things, I'm very surprised there hasn't been, because I've said this many times, no Pokemon live action, but also no Arthur live action or like animated, or no Magic Treehouse. What is it? Magic Treehouse?
School Bus?
Magic School Bus?
No, what's the Treehouse one?
There's Magic Treehouse 2 or something like that book series.
Yeah, the Magic Treehouse book series where they travel back in time. I'm surprised nothing has been made
of
that.
What about the Boxcar Kids? They never got a fair shake.
Those were old books, though. Who cares? Them and the Hardy Boys. You guys ever read Cam Jansen books?
I don't think so.
Why does that sound so familiar?
They're like mystery books for like, I want to say they're for kids. I mean, they're scholastic kids books. But
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah,
it's about a kid who had like a photographic memory, and he solved crimes and stuff with his photographic memory. But it wasn't like crimes like murder, because that'd be too heavy for a kid's book. It was like, you know, the missing bell from the clock tower or some shit like that. And then there's always Amelia Bedelia.
I read that book as a kid. That's one of my mom's favorite books.
Those scholastic book fairs were something else, man.
I used to buy so many of those Boxcar Kids books, and I can't remember a single one of them. There's one with an apple orchard. That's it. It's all the only detail I got.
I didn't like the Boxcar Kids. I
it was fucked up.
I don't know. Did they live out of a boxcar?
Children? I think it was the Boxcar Children, too.
Yeah, and they all like lived in a car, like a train car. It's not like, very inspiring.
Did they have parents?
I don't think so.
Like, so they're like glorifying like homelessness, essentially.
Bunch of homeless orphans just living out of a boxcar. Let's write a book about that.
That's sad as fuck. I mean, really is.
Oh, by the way, circling back to the Halo novels, a good friend of the podcast, Robbie Fox, tweeted me and said that he also read some Halo books and was a big fan.
No. You're lying. Don't pretend we don't also follow Robbie.
He said he read one. 10 Halo books.
No, he said he read one Halo book. You tried to lie and say that he read multiple Halo books.
Ken Jack, when he
read one.
When Ken Jack went to go buy Halo books, they made him show like his like sex punch card with no punches in it.
Oh no, I bought them on Kindle, all of them. Don't worry. Full anonymity.
You're embarrassed to go buy the Halo books.
Oh, I would never buy one in the store. Never.
Ken Jack would read the books while playing the game and try to make it seem like he's playing the actual novel.
Just insert myself into it.
Master Chief didn't know what the meaning of this was. He turned his head. He found an alien and he shot it. The end.
great fan.
Love the Halo novels.
Fuck Halo.
Fuck you, man, and your dumb rat. Splinter.
The only good part about Halo is and then you press start and then it goes all downhill from there. Halo 2 was the best of the series, though. I will give you that.
Fighting in the streets in New Mombasa. Great time.
They had the best multiplayer. We played that in college. We just do shots of Everclear and play Halo 2 multiplayer.
I feel like, did everyone in every college make like that apple pie moonshine shit with Everclear at some point? I feel like everyone did.
We didn't do shots of Everclear so much as we did shots of Bacardi 151. And I never really got that. Yeah, because I guess it seemed like, okay, I'll get drunk faster, but then you can't, like, you get sick earlier.
Yeah.
I like, go back and I question a lot of my drinking habits when I was in, like when I was 20, 21. I didn't drink very intelligently.
I, like, religiously drank Natty Light in college, like a dumb idiot. Natty Light, please sponsor the pod.
See, I was a big runner in college. Like, I didn't run officially, but like I ran like a lot. I think like 30 miles a week or something like that. Jesus. Which I'm sure some people listening to the podcast are like, that's not a lot, but I think for the average person it is. And I weighed like 145 to 150 pounds, and I was really conscious of my weight, so I never drink beer because I was worried about getting So I always did like shots of like 151 and vodka or whatever. And then when I graduated college, I'm like, fuck this, I'm getting fat. And now I'm like, now I'm 185. I'm a glorious 5'10", 185. And someone did comment that I talk about how fat I am every podcast. If you're wondering, like, yes, I do have body issues. Okay.
People dug up evidence though, there, because they saw that video with you and, Tom Bro Dude, rest in peace. But they were like, he's not fat.
I'm not fat. I'm like skinny fat, you know, like, I can't wear, like, if I wore Nike Pro Compression, it looks like an overstuffed sausage in a casing. Like, but, you know, I'm a 41 regular coat. I'm a 15 and a half 33 dress shirt, and I'm a 32 pant. But the problem is you always compare it to like your peak physical, like, attractiveness when you're like 21. And I know I'm never going back to that point.
See, 32 pant. See, that I wish I could be 32 pant. I like,
Oh yeah, that's like my dream.
Well, because I'm shaped like a, like, imagine a triangle where you cut the triangle in half, and then you replace the top, like the top thick part of a triangle, with like a half circle that connects to the bottom point. It's like a bulb. It's like it's like one of those markers on like Apple Maps that tells you, not like the pen, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I look like. Like a big sweet potato that like narrows at the end. And those are my feet.
Speaking of fat, let's talk about fast food and chain restaurants. That's the last thing we want to talk about today.
Yeah, we're gonna call it, well, let's talk about the effect first, and then let's talk about the cause.
So this was brought up last week, just between the three of us, and we figured, you know what, people like hearing us talk about cereal with Tyler. And why not talk about restaurants? Because the Arby's Buffalo Wild Wings takeover had happened last week. And that got us talking, because I personally despise both Arby's and Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about what are our – and we called out for your answers on Twitter. So don't worry. As always, you guys are involved. We're going to read off some of what our listeners and readers and followers said. But, Trill, start with you. Name off a couple or some of your least favorite chain/fast food restaurants.
Okay, so one I don't like very much is, I don't like O'Charley's, like, as a chain restaurant. And everyone seems to think their tenders are great, and everyone loves their rolls, but I just don't like anything they have.
I've never been, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like a Midwestern staple restaurant. Everyone loves O'Charley's. And for a fast food restaurant, like, Arby's is like one of my least favorite, but I'm good for like an Arby's roast beef once a quarter. And it's pretty much just because I love the horsey sauce. Like, I love dipping my fries in the horsey sauce.
Never had. I feel like I'm out of reference for this. The weird.
Never had a horsey sauce? You never had a horsey? So. Have you ever had horseradish sauce?
Anything? Is it like horseradish?
It's like horseradish by itself is like a fancier thing than like horseradish sauce or horsey sauce. It's like mayonnaise with horseradish in it, I would say.
That you're not making the sound appealing.
It's not appealing. That's why I'm good for once a quarter. The thing about Arby's is, I swear, I feel like at one time Arby's had regular fries. Like, am I making this up? Because every time
I think they did. I had this argument with somebody at some point. I was watching some like French fry video.
I hate their curly fries.
Yeah, I really.
And everyone seems
I hate Arby's,
to love them.
Period.
Like, if I want seasoned fries, I'll go get some Cajun fries at Five Guys. Like, that's the perfect seasoned fries. But the curly fries, just the texture and their greasiness and the seasoning, I cannot stand them, and that makes Arby's one of the worst for me.
I just hate Arby's in general. I had it once, and I don't like roast beef. I think roast beef is a bottom tier, like a shit tier deli meat, and to buy it from a fast food place, you just got to be stupid. And
also, let's go back to Buffalo Wild Wings for a second. So Jeff, you hate Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, I'll wrap up Arby's quickly. I agree. Actually like roast beef. I like French dip. I like all that stuff. But I get why some people may not like it. Because there's some roast beef that I've had that's like I only get boar's head. Like, it's the only one I like. Mm-hmm. There's some I don't like at all. But Arby's, it just period, cut top to bottom, is, you're right, it's bottom of the barrel, like trash food.
Do you ever notice on Arby's roast beef, if you look at the edges of the roast beef, it's got like this like metallic like green and purple glow on it? Have you ever noticed that?
No, I've never been edging at Arby's.
But I believe it.
It's so gross. But again, like once per quarter, I'm good for a fucking like Big Montana or whatever the 2017 equivalent is.
But let's get back to Buffalo Wild Wings. I've never not eaten Buffalo Wild Wings and felt sick afterwards.
Every time.
I think it is disgusting. It's disgusting. Buffalo Wild Wings is gross.
You know what I think was one of the more annoying things about Buffalo Wild Wings is every single time I've gone there, because they opened one in my town, and it's one of those things where everyone, they can't think of a better place to go, we'll just go there.
Because of the commercials.
Even though we know we're going to get diarrhea. And then every time I go there, I try something different to try and not get like poo-poo water diarrhea, and it gets worse. And I think I've tried a real meal there, like a burger and fries or something, and their fries are like pencil thick or pencil thin. It's like the weirdest shit to me, and like I don't know.
Pencil thick pencil tells you a lot about like, Ken Jack.
What do you get?
It's like a Home Depot pencil. It's one of those ones.
Do you get regular wings or do you get their boneless wings? Because the Buffalo Wild Wing boneless wings, I swear, the coating is just laxative pills.
It's like fucking engine sludge.
All their coating is okay. Their garlic parmesan coating is one of the worst smells in the world. It's like right next to Oysters Rockefeller. And it's like some of just the worst smelling foodstuffs. And I had a friend who get that every time we went, because I went through a stage where we would watch games at Buffalo Wild Wings, like any like Midwestern American 22-year-old, and he would get the like 25 part garlic parmesan wings, and it just smell like crap right on his plate. I can't stand it. Parmesan cheese just does not smell good. I think it tastes good, but the smell is just so unappealing. I never get the boneless wings when I go, just because they're so the coating. You're right. Even having the coating in your mouth is like I feel like I gotta poop now.
They should do like the blazing challenge, except it's just E25 boneless parmesan garlic wings.
There are two wing places that I really enjoy that are nowhere near where I am right now. Though there is one in New Jersey when I go play golf.
Wings over.
Wingstop, bro.
No, wait. As a Penn State grad, yes, Wings Over. I do love Wings Over, and that's a college campus thing. But no, one is Quaker Steak and Lube. You know that place?
Oh no,
Troy, you have to know that. Come on, you're a Midwest guy.
I've seen it. I don't think I've eaten at Quaker State and Lube. I think that's more of like, you know, that's not really a Midwest thing.
The Western Pennsylvania and Ohio thing, yeah.
It's probably an Ohio thing. So in the sense that it's an Ohio thing, yeah, but old TB hasn't spent much time in Ohio, aside from Cincinnati, which like people from Ohio say is really just Kentucky.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, speaking of another Cincinnati tradition.
Oh, you want to talk about Skyline? But hold on, there's one more.
No, let's keep going on BW3 and wing places.
Anyone from Texas will know Plucker's Wing Bar. That's a Texas thing. There's one in Louisiana. I love Plucker's. They have like this fried mac and cheese they have. It's like good wings. I'm always on the fence about Hooters though, because those are very different, because Plucker's and Quaker Steak, they have a very like theirs is the more like the sauce, that kind of like that naked feeling of like of the wings, where it's the breaded with Hooters. Hooters has like the breaded wings. I don't hate Hooters. I mean, it's just not my favorite.
People like to trash Hooters a lot. I think Hooters on the bone wings are pretty good. Like they're not bad.
Yeah, no, they're not bad at all.
People love trashing, though.
Buffalo Wild Wings has this reputation because of their stupid-ass commercials, because Gus Johnson did a couple commercials, and because when you're watching the college basketball tournament, you get like three or four commercials just stuffed down your throat the entire time, and that's one of them.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed there's always a Buffalo Wild Wings next to a GameStop?
Yeah.
Always.
Yep.
Fucking, they build them together. It's like GameStop and Buffalo Wild Wings, and I think that tells you a lot about like the clientele.
Oh, there's like Wingstop as well, but I'm not a big Wingstop guy. Yeah. All right, what about some other ones? Let's move out of wings for a second, and
we got to talk about Skyline Chili. But this is probably on people's list. It's probably on people's list, so we'll save it.
I haven't seen it. Let's talk Skyline Chili, and then we'll go down the list of what people suggested, because I'm sure it's all ones that we have. Okay, but let's talk about what you were alluding to, Trill. Skyline Chili. I can explain it, but I feel like you might be able to explain it a little better if people don't know what Skyline Chili is.
It's it's a Cincinnati style chili, and Cincinnati chili, the general theme is they take chili and then they ruin it by dumping an entire bag of brown sugar into it, making it sweet. And you can't really eat the chili by itself, so they put it on spaghetti and cover it with cheese, or they put it on a hot dog and cover it with cheese. And that's the whole theme about this restaurant, is they take this gross chili that, first off, like, you know how like good chili will be like, it'll have different colors in it. You'll be like, okay, the base is red. The meat is like dark brown. The kidney beans are another shade of red. The pinto beans are this red. Maybe there's some tomatoes in there. Maybe there's some green peppers. Skyline Chili is just all brown. It's just all this amorphous, and there's no other thing except for meat and the chili. It's just meat and sauce. Yeah. And then they're putting it over these hot dogs. And you know, like when you have a hot dog, what you want out of a hot dog is when you bite into it, the bite goes through without any differential and pressure. Skyline Chili, when you bite it, you have to apply a little pressure to break the casing. You gotta like, you know, if you're at 40% mouth pressure, you got to go down to like 70% just to break the casing. And then you can go back to 40% to chew. It's gross. People from Cincinnati will say it's good, but what they'll say, like to try to get you off their case, they'll be like, well, you know, I like Skyline Chili, but if you really want good Cincinnati style chili, you got to go to Gold Star. And buddy, I've been to Gold Star and it's the same fucking thing. It's gross.
I don't know. I've never had it. I've only ever seen it on the internet, and it just looks like a big oily, cheesy mess. And like the layer of grease that comes out followed by like a plain spaghetti noodle just makes you want to fucking puke my guts out.
It's sad, man. I wonder how people got to this point, like where they're just eating Skyline Chili. I went to a hospital one time to visit somebody in the hospital, and I ate Skyline Chili, which is across from the hospital. And it was so depressing, man. I remember that experience. It's awful.
I remember one of my old roommates, she lived in Hawaii. Like, she was born in Hawaii, and she lived there until she was like 15 or something. And then she moved to Ohio, like middle of nowhere. And I remember asking her about Skyline Chili, thinking like, okay, she has to have like, I guess, some sort of a refined palate and has to hate it. And she's like, no, man, Skyline's the absolute best. Like, it's like, you got to go there every time you're there. And then she'll snap me her eating Skyline Chili, and it makes me want to fucking die.
Nothing looks good. The Steak and Shake has the better chili mac, because their chili's not like real chili, but at least it doesn't have that brown sugar cinnamon taste. It's like you're eating one of those Pop-Tarts. It's like you're putting chili on top of a Pop-Tart, and then you're putting the Pop-Tart onto a big pile of sloppy spaghetti.
You're not from Ohio if you don't know what this is.
Oh, man. Yeah, Skyline Chili, that's an experience. All right, let's talk about what the listeners said, because I'm sure they have a lot of the same ones we have. Chili's, Applebee's, TGI Fridays, all of those chain. Ruby Tuesdays, those chain restaurants. Thoughts? Do we like any of those?
Let me rank
thoughts?
Them.
Okay, rank them out.
Yeah. Rank them. Chili's 1, TGI Fridays 2, Applebee's 3, Ruby Tuesdays 4. Out of that similar like style of restaurant. I personally love Chili's. The other ones I wouldn't go to unless I had to. I think Chili's is actually good, guys.
Our good friend of the pod, at FanSince09, said, I've never not gotten diarrhea from Chili's.
I mean, probably the same. But I say look a lot. I was listening to last week's episode. I'm like always saying look. When I go to Chili's, you know you're going to have diarrhea. They just have so many different options that I think are good. If you want to go there for lunch, you can get the bottomless salad and soup and their tortilla or their chicken enchilada soup or whatever. The one that has the chicken broth base and not the cream base. It's actually a pretty tasty and somewhat healthy lunch. But if you want to ruin that, you can eat the chips that come free with that bottomless special. But if you want to go there for dinner, you can get their chicken crispers. And I think Chili's fries are some of the best fries in casual dining.
I don't really like any four of these. I think Chili's would be my number one too. I think the big difference between Chili's and Applebee's for me is like, I know I'm getting diarrhea if I go to either one. but like it's worth it if I go to Chili's. Like, the food is like the food taste to diarrhea ratio. It's like it's past that like Mendoza line where I don't mind, but like the, with Applebee's, it's just garbage engine sludge, half off apps, and then I get disgusting burning diarrhea.
So. Yeah, I don't mind Chili's, and I don't mind Fridays because I mostly eat those if I eat them in airports. I don't think I've actually been in any Chili's or Fridays, not in an airport, in a very long time. But after that, Ruby Tuesdays and oh man,
Ruby Tuesdays stinks.
Ruby Tuesdays, I think, has the salad bar too, which just really skews me out. That one really bothers me.
The Wait, salad Fridays? Bar is such a '90s thing. Did you guys know Wendy's used to have a salad bar in the '90s?
Oh yeah.
The super bar, and it not only had salad, but it had like spaghetti and it had like taco stuff in it too.
You know what I appreciate, and this might get listed later, maybe not. I don't even know if this chain is in existence anymore, but I like a fixings bar, like at Roy Rogers.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, Roy Rogers.
I don't know if I've ever had a Roy Rogers.
Is Roy that Rogers like only exists now in like New Jersey, like rest stops on the way to the shore. That's the only place I've ever seen them now.
Dude, I loved Roy Rogers. I haven't been to one in like, I don't know, like 7 years.
Wait, what were the four? Applebee's?
TGI.
Oh, Applebee's. Friday. That's the one I was not going to – I forgot. I ate Applebee's in college because we'd go for half-price apps, but it always ended terribly for you. Like, you never – like, once you got the bill, like, you thought that was the pinnacle, but then it all went downhill once you left the restaurant, so.
You know what? Either Applebee's or Chili's started doing, Jeff, I think you'll appreciate this. You know how at Chili's you get the silverware and it's, like, wrapped for, like
–
your sanitation. Either Applebee's or Chili's started doing this for a while because all those restaurants went on a huge push to court millennials. And it turns out millennials aren't eating at them because they don't have any money, not because they don't like the food. And so like Applebee's, like Chili's went to this huge menu and they're serving their fries in like little baskets now. And they're just making those like touches, you know, things coming on wooden planks that you get at some like local restaurant. Applebee's had this huge ad campaign, how they're replacing like all their grills to these new steak grills. And it was just a monumental failure. And then they're like, oh, we're going back to the old Applebee's menu. It's like, yeah. Okay. Like why?
Yeah. Chewy's is my favorite chain restaurant for sure. It's kind of all over the place now. It's mostly in the Midwest and the South, but it's Tex-Mex. It's not Mexican food. It's Tex-Mex. And people will get all pissy about that, especially in Austin, all the hip Austin people. But let's move on to some more ones that people on our timeline hate. Somebody did have a pretty good comment about Ruby Tuesdays. He also said it consistently gives me food poisoning no matter what I've had there.
You see the one from 6 minutes ago? Ruby Tuesdays is solely for divorced dads who get custody of their kids 2 days, 2 weekends a month.
Oh, man.
Very morbid.
Did they just go – is like Ruby Tuesday an actual thing, or did they just straight up name their restaurant after a Rolling Stones song?
I actually have no idea why they named it Ruby Tuesday.
Like, is that some like 1940s saying, like, have yourself a Ruby Tuesday or something like that? Like, I don't know. And well, you're also forgetting too is Bennigan's and Houlihan's, which I think used to be bigger. And I think they've closed a lot. They were very similar restaurants to like Fridays and Chili's and casual dining. And there just isn't space for all of them anymore.
Someone said Panera Bread, overpriced shitty food. You guys like Panera?
True. Fuck it's Panera. Hospital food. Both Panera and
exactly.
McAllister's Deli are hospital food.
I've never thought about Panera and been like, ooh, that sounds good. I don't like Panera. I guess I'm in the minority, but not for this podcast, apparently, because all three of us don't like Panera.
I don't mind their bakery items. They're just standard bakery items. Their bagels are okay. I mean, I have a very – again, I know like some New York people would be like, you can't beat a New York bagel, and I'm sure that's true. But I like literally cannot get a New York bagel in the Midwest. I just can't do it. So Panera has to suffice sometimes. And Panera also like started off the whole Asiago cheese trend, just putting Asiago cheese on everything, which I guess could be good sometimes. But I feel like if like their sandwiches is like Asiago cheese bread with more cheese on it with like roast beef and then horseradish sauce. And that's just like, you're talking about diarrhea. Panera's going to give that to you at lunch and you're going to be sitting on the toilet from 1 to 3.
Yeah, that's just like a heartburn sandwich.
One restaurant that I think we saw a lot of, and it may be the most consistent one, was Subway.
I don't hate Subway.
Yeah, neither do I.
See, that's crazy to me because, Jack, you get really defensive about things in New York, I feel like. I feel like you hate like fake bagel places. But Subway, there are a few things more embarrassing than walking in New York with a bag from Subway.
Oh, my God. I like hide it. I like stuff it in my shirt. I'm like, no one can
see it. I do, too. It's terribly embarrassing. I mean, Subway, I've lost a lot of interest in because I know they have a lot of health violations and a lot of New York ones.
Yeah.
And it's just gross to me. Subway is now gross. I listened to a stand-up comedy album with Pete Holmes, I think, where he talked about Subway, how biting into a Subway sandwich is like biting into one large eraser.
Yeah.
Like, it all just tastes the same, and, like, it all smells the same, and it's so true. Nothing, there is no more distinct restaurant smell than Subway.
Oh, yeah, big time. Oh, I was saying that the other day.
It's awful, too.
Yeah.
Subway smells, ugh.
We used to walk to Subway from our dorm to get Subway, obviously, and your clothes would smell like Subway until you wash them. It wouldn't just be, like, all day. It was like that yeasty bread smell would permeate your sweatshirt, and you just it's right next to Benihana for smells that stick on you permanently until you wash your clothes.
I had someone tweet me when I was talking about the Subway smell, and they said they had a roommate that worked at Subway during college.
He
said his room consistently smelled like Subway every single year. Like, it reeked of Subway. But I'll say the only thing I ever order at Subway is I'll get the flatbread turkey bacon ranch with a couple little fixings on it.
I do like their flatbread. I will say I'm a fan of their flatbread.
It's
I used to get it in college. I'd either get wings over a Subway and then watch NFL on Sundays.
Yeah, it's like $7. You get like a foot of food. It's good stuff.
I got to be that guy and talk about, like, okay, why would you go to Subway when you have, like, my extremely local choice, which nobody else has access to. But at IU, there is this place called Dagwood's, and they had a turkey sandwich that they put cream cheese on, and it was so fucking good. I know it sounds gross, but it was super good. So I never went to Subway then, but back for a while my freshman year, yeah, I went to Subway quite a bit. I don't hate it. You know what you're going to get. It's very standardized. You have to settle for Subway in the same way you, like, just settle for anything else, where you're just like, okay, I'm going to eat Subway, and we're going to make the best of it. One more thing. And how pissed do the guys get at Subway when you tell them you want it toasted? Like, that has to be like – it has to be like the single worst thing that's ever happened.
Here's my question. Did you like Quiznos?
Oh, nice. I love Quiznos.
I love Quiznos.
What about
I love
Jimmy that John's? Quiznos and Jimmy John's. So Quiznos started the toasting trend.
I love Jimmy John's the first couple of times I had access to Jimmy John's, but I feel like it's kind of got the same Subway thing at Jimmy John's, where every sandwich tastes the same, and it's just overwhelmed by their bread.
Everything is really watery at Jimmy John's. Have you noticed
that?
Yeah. I feel like it's just, there's water seeping out of your sandwich at Jimmy John's.
I've really grown apart with Jimmy John's. If I have to get a sub, so I love Quiznos, and I think Firehouse Subs kind of carries on the Quiznos tradition in some sense. The only thing missing, so Firehouse has the sauce bar, which Quiznos kind of had, but what I love about Quiznos is they had, like, the pickle pepper bar, and you could just get a whole bunch of pickles and peppers. It's delicious.
My favorite chain, though, of sandwiches, though, and they won't sponsor us because they can't, it's Jersey Mike's. Big fan of Jersey Mike's.
I love Jersey Mike's. I think Jersey Mike's is the closest you'll get with a chain restaurant to having an actual sandwich, because they slice the meat right in front of you. And everything's just very simple. They don't have a whole lot of toppings. They have tomatoes, pickles, onions, maybe some peppers, and then they have Mike's Way oil and vinegar.
I wish they could have sponsored us. It could have been Lights, Camera, Podcast, Mike's Way.
I would love to sell out. I know people think that, like, people don't want, like, us or me to sell out, and my whole brand has always been about selling out.
Also, even if we get sponsors, I've seen this a lot, we're still going to do fake commercials and fake trailers as long as people like them. That's not going to stop. You know,
we'll just have to preface with, like, this is a real commercial coming up.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to stop. I'll read off a couple other ones. If you have some wild takes on it, let me just stop me and we'll go on. A couple Red Robin is trash comments.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't mind Red Robin. And unlimited fries? Come on.
Yeah. I love steak fries.
Steak fries, yeah.
A perfectly cooked steak fry? Yeah.
I just don't like their hamburgers. So if I'm going to Red Robin, it's for the fries. I think 80% of people are right there with me. The issue with Red Robin is, like, anytime you go into a Red Robin, you're already by the mall somewhat, so you're fucking pissed off.
That's so true.
Oh, somebody did say Skyline Chili. Said Skyline Chili is an affront to humanity.
You know what I like in Red Robin? Have you ever had, like, the tower of onion rings with, like, all the four dipping sauces in it? I'm big.
Yeah, I know exactly. I haven't had it, but I know what you're talking about. Hey, Charles, somebody said O'Charlie's too.
Yeah, O'Charlie's is trash. They have good chicken tenders and they have good rolls, and that's about it. I guarantee you, like when
Publix,
people,
then.
I don't like Publix, man. I'm with you on the Publix take. I think Publix is one of those regional things that people hype up because they're really proud of their region. And I think it's cool to be like, if you love the South and you love Publix, that's fine. But I don't think their sandwiches or subs or whatever they want to call them are any better than any other grocery store sub. And yeah, they use Boar's Head meat, but you can go to Kroger and get a Boar's Head sandwich too now.
I think they're in Wawa or anywhere else where you're like, if you order something and it's bad and people have to tell you, well, you didn't order right. Well, make more than one good thing. Like, that's not on me. That's on your dumpy regional garbage place.
See, yeah, I can't say that about Wawa. Publix, I can say, because Publix, I think there's literally only one good thing there. I think Wawa, there's multiple, but you still...
I've had Wawa like three or four times, and every single time it's been a bad experience.
Wait, what have you gotten again there?
The last time I went there, I think me and my friend both got, I think it was like a chicken parm sub or something like that.
Yeah, and like, no, that's just not what, yeah. Just,
you should...
Yeah, see, if you have to say that, if you have to say you didn't order right, like, what if I said to you, like, you go to McDonald's or something...
Well, they got
to
give you options. I mean, they have to give options.
What's wrong with you?
The two hardest things
Sheetz
to fuck
worse.
Up.
Sheetz is way worse than Wawa because Sheetz's menu is the biggest menu I've ever seen in my entire life. Sheetz has so many damn things. Wawa expands a little bit because you got to give some options.
The thing,
I mean,
I don't,
chicken parm sub, I just...
Yeah. Well, no, chicken parm and buffalo chicken sandwich are two of the hardest things to fuck up. You have to actively try to fuck up a chicken parm and a buffalo chicken because you have a fried chicken base and you have either marinara sauce or buffalo sauce, which counteracts any dryness with the chicken. And then you have cheese. And so something's got to go horribly wrong for either of those to be bad.
And it was super fucked up. It tasted like almost like a high school chicken parm, like a cafeteria chicken parm. Like it, like the bread.
No, their breaded chicken is terrible there. That's like the one thing even Wawa purists will admit. They do have grilled chicken there, and it's fantastic. I tried to be a Wawa hater just to be an ass. It's lost me now.
I don't get how you can fuck up a chicken tender. Like, it's fucking breaded chicken. Like, how do you fuck it up?
Okay, so we'll keep going on. There's a lot more. Arby's is on here a lot. I think we've touched on Arby's enough. Arby's might be the most popular fast food chain. Olive Garden a couple times. I actually went to an Olive Garden the other night in Times Square because it was ironic. It was done ironically because it was one of my coworkers' birthday and she joked she wanted to go to all the Times Square restaurants and then go to the bar, but we only went to Olive Garden. It was more very embarrassing. Olive Garden is offensive to me. I'm actually glad I went though because I saw in person the lasagna bites. And it's the funniest thing. The fried lasagna bites, it's hilarious.
Dude, fuck Olive Garden.
If you want to go to Olive Garden, just go to Fazoli's because it's the same quality food. And people always – whenever you have to like lean back on the bread, it's kind of the O'Charlie's thing. Oh, their bread's good. Well, Olive Garden's breadsticks are good. Yeah,
no,
like it's bread with garlic and butter and grease on it, dude. Like, of course it's going to be good.
I think their breadsticks are good. They taste like cardboardy to me.
Yeah, I don't either. They kind of gross me out looking at them again. Let's round out the restaurant chains, then we'll touch on fast food quick because a couple Outback Steakhouses on this list. And somebody said, and I'm sorry, T_mess3, thank you for listening, thank you for following, but your reasoning can't be filling up on all the rolls for 21 minutes is the worst. That's part of why I like Outback. First of all, it's not rolls, so I mean, you're wrong there. It's bread. Yeah, their bread is amazing. That's one of the best parts about Outback.
And they have like that whipped butter that's so good. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's great. And then I like almost everything they have there. Bloomin' Onion, coconut shrimp. Their salads are great. I like their steak.
We have to give a one episode ban to anybody who said Outback.
I can see how people don't like Outback, but I love Outback. Their blue cheese wedge is one of the best blue cheese wedges in the game. And their New York strip's not too bad. I mean, you get what you pay for, right? You're not going to like a real steakhouse. You're not getting a premium steakhouse experience. But I would rather pay $6 more to have a New York strip at Outback than like whatever they have at Applebee's.
That just reminded me. I think the only thing on my list that hasn't been mentioned so far, Dave & Buster's. Not a fan of Dave & Buster's food. I think it's basically Applebee's.
No, who goes to Dave & Buster's for the food, though?
Yeah, I guess nobody, but just to say it.
They did used to have really good chicken tenders, and they changed up their recipe. And I actually think Dave & Buster's is gross. I haven't been to Dave & Buster's in probably like 10 years. But
yeah, Dave & Buster's isn't really – like I never lived in a place growing up that had – like Indianapolis didn't get a Dave & Buster's until like 2010 or something like that. And it's over by Castleton Square Mall for any 317 listeners. It's I think it's where the old CompUSA used to be actually.
So let's move on from that because I don't think we had many other chain restaurant suggestions. Let's just move into fast food here because There were a lot of different. I think every fast food chain was touched on here. Somebody had a problem with something. Taco Bell's on here a lot.
Yeah.
What's our verdict on Taco Bell?
I can't do Taco Bell anymore. I used to be able to do it. Now it's just, it's like instant brown water in my bowl.
I see.
And they used to be a joke. And I was like, oh, Taco Bell doesn't give me diarrhea. Everybody's over exaggerating. And then I turned like 28, 29. And then it gave me diarrhea every time.
I'm a fan of the post going out and drinking Taco Bell.
Big fan of that.
I can't hate on that.
I would rather have McDonald's 10 times out of 10 for going. Like, a McDonald's is the perfect drunk food.
Nobody actually put McDonald's, by the way. Not one person put McDonald's.
How the fuck did no one put McDonald's?
A lot of Burger
King. People put Burger King. Yeah, people put Burger King.
I love Burger King. I think Burger King's burgers blow McDonald's out of the water.
Yeah, well, no contest.
I will say this. I'm not a huge fan of Burger King. I think their fries are bad, but I think their grilled chicken sandwich is 10 times better than any grilled chicken you'll ever get from McDonald's. If you're going to a fast food restaurant to get a fucking grilled chicken sandwich, that is.
Couldn't be me.
I mean, the McDonald's fries I prefer, but their burgers compared to Burger King. Burger King has just, I don't know, they're better burgers.
Everything in McDonald's.
There's a lot of Burger King on this list. A lot.
Yeah, I saw it so many times. Like, I think they might deserve an episode ban more than the Outback people.
I don't know. I see why people hate Burger King, though, because it's – I don't know.
There are a lot – Burger King makes their food from ingredients found in a dumpster. A couple Long John Silvers as well. The idea of Long John Silvers makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, fish in general, I couldn't imagine getting from a fast food place.
Yum Brands used to own KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Long John Silver's, and A&W.
Yep.
And they cut off Long John Silver's and A&W, and I think it took them like 2 years to sell those because not even a company wanted Long John Silver's.
Is there any more like irrelevant combo place than Long John Silver's and A&W? Whenever you see those, I just always wonder like who is going in those restaurants?
Any combo restaurant grosses me out, actually. Like a Pizza Hut.
Taco Bell.
I've seen like Pizza Hut, KFC, Taco Bell. I lived in Overland Park, Kansas for a while, and I don't know if they still had it, but they built like this two-story Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, KFC mega plaza, freestanding. And I just
diarrhea
like
place.
Yeah, any combination of those Yum Brand restaurants skews me out. But when you add Long John Silver's to the mix, even though I don't think it's a Yum Brand restaurant anymore, I do like their Hush Puppies. Okay. I will give you that because it's just like fried bread, but any fish product, and they do most of their business in like March and April too. I think like they get back in the black during those times after losing money all year.
I just don't trust anybody who can make me a cheesy gordita crunch, bacon stuffed crust pizza, and popcorn chicken all within a 5 minute span. I'm not going to trust that person.
Also, the Pizza Huts that are in combination restaurants only serve like personal pan pizzas, and I think personal pan pizzas are gross. I like a good regular pizza hand. Fuck. Pizza Hut pizza, but the personal, like any personal pan pizza, whether it be Papa John's, Pizza Hut, you distort the proportions of the actual crust to pizza ratio, and you're just eating crust. It's just a crust with cheese on it and like three pepperonis. It's fucking absurd.
I gotta mention, somebody just said Boston Market, even though we're outside of fast food places. I got Boston Market sucks.
What? I like Boston Market.
I don't mind Boston Market. They have some things I like there.
Their sides and everything. I everyone's like, oh,
get one. I like their mac and cheese. I'm a big fan of the Boston Market mac and cheese.
The cream spinach is great there.
Oh,
Kendrick, there's one right by us. Actually, we should go get some Boston Market and bring it to the theater.
We should do like a contest or something between you and me, and the loser has to eat Arby's.
I haven't had Arby's in 2 quarters, so I'm good for some fucking Arby's right now. Like I could slam a Sammy with some horsey on it and be just fine.
We're going to get to two that got mentioned a bunch, and I have some theories on it. Starbucks food, disgusting.
Here's something to say about Starbucks food. I can't do it. It's the same thing as Dunkin' Donuts food. Right. And they take like a flatbread that's already frozen. It's like a Jimmy Dean delight that they just heat up in their little toaster.
It's a glorified Jimmy Dean.
It's basically the same thing. So anytime I get Starbucks food reminds me so much of business travel because anytime I get Starbucks food, I'm traveling for business and don't have time for a real breakfast. Sometimes I'll just eat at like the Fairfield Inn or wherever I'm staying at, like just get some Frosted Flakes and that like little turnstile distributor, drop some milk on it. Way better than Starbucks.
Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of their food. A couple that are not on the list though. Chick-fil-A didn't make the list.
Chick-fil-A is great. Here's my big complaint with Chick-fil-A. I love everything on their menu except for their fucking chicken strips. Their chicken strips are gross. And yeah. I don't know why. Their fried chicken's great. I think their grilled chicken's okay. I think their chicken nuggets are great too. But somehow when you get to the Chick-fil-A chicken strips, they're like mushy and there's a lot of like ligaments in there or something like that. And it just, they haven't been to the same quality as their other chicken products, but their fries are to die for. Besides chicken strips, the only thing I wish for out of Chick-fil-A is I wish I could just grab a handful of their sauces at like self-serve. Oh, yeah.
Robbie Fox just tweeted us that he worked at an On the Border and dropped some food there once and it traumatized him. I'd never seen an On the Border outside of an airport.
Did you guys ever have Don Pablo's where you were?
No.
I think it's more of a Midwestern thing. It's like the big Midwestern chain. Tex-Mex restaurant, and I haven't seen much in recent years. I think they, like every other restaurant, they closed down.
Other ones that didn't make the list, Popeyes. I love Popeyes. Bojangles didn't make the list. Bojangles, another one that Popeyes and Bojangles, interchangeable for me. I love them both. Canes also didn't make the list. Raising Canes.
Popeyes chicken's way better than Bojangles chicken, but Bojangle has the breakfast sandwiches that you can eat all day, which are great. And then Raising Canes is, I don't know. I'm not a big chicken strip guy. So like Zaxby's and Raising Cane's, I'm just not a huge fan.
So let's get to two that a bunch of people said, and I have some theories that when people say these places are overrated or they don't like them, they've never actually had them. I'm not saying all of you. I'm saying some of you maybe. In-N-Out and Whataburger. And now I called a couple people out and they clarified. They just said overrated. We asked for a least favorite, not overrated. So here's the thing. Whataburger and In-N-Out, what are our thoughts? Whataburger for me is my favorite fast food restaurant and one of my favorite restaurants, period, because I don't even really consider it fast food because Whataburger is one of the longest wait times anywhere because they make the food as you order it. Whataburger is – it's religious in Texas. It really is.
Yeah, that's funny because the only time I've eaten at an In-N-Out has been in Texas. So I lived in Dallas for a few years, and they opened up In-N-Out when I was living there. And I kid you not, when – It was like at the Plano Frisco border across the street from Stonebriar or whatever mall. I think that's the name of the mall. They had cones set up across the entire parking lot and people were just backed up. I think there were probably hundreds of cars in there. And then I waited a few weeks and I got In-N-Out and I thought it was good, but I didn't understand all the hype because it's just a burger. Whataburger is the same thing for me. It tastes like a burger. And I think all the fighting about them is just people trying to have regional pride, which I get.
I do like In-N-Out, and In-N-Out is in Texas now. It's very competitive in Texas. It's in Austin a lot. Austin's got a very California vibe to it, so they brought In-N-Out there. And for a while, I had really big lines, but it's died down now. I mean, Whataburger's king. For me, the Whataburger has a different taste. That's the thing. The burgers are huge. The fries are different. I like their bread, and they have a fancy ketchup that I love. Great milkshakes, tenders. That's a hill I'll die on. I mean, Whataburger is amazing to me. But I think In-N-Out is the more controversial one, though, because I think In-N-Out is definitely more famous nationwide than Whataburger because it's just so well known, and Californians get so heated about it. I think for me, like, as someone from Texas, like, when we defend Whataburger, we can get heated, but eventually we're just like, whatever, like, you know, fuck you, you just don't have it. Like, that's our thing. Californians, though, and my, you know, I got family that lives there now, they defend that to the death, and they will never stop backing down from In-N-Out being the best. I like it. I just don't think it's the best.
I've never had either, so I'm abstaining my opinion, but I do hear people talk about it too much, and that's annoying. Which is stupid.
Yeah, but that shouldn't. But see,
from a critical standpoint, it's stupid. But
would that dilute your opinion, though? Like, I think some people say they hate those places and they've never actually had them. Because In-N-Out is also as hard to get as well, just like Whataburger, because it's only in one sectioned off part of the country.
Yeah, I can't say I hate it at all, and I'm sure whenever I have it, I'll eat either of them. I mean, I'll eat anything, to be honest.
It's just a burger.
Fucking eat it, yeah.
It's just a burger. I mean, In-N-Out and Whataburger are very good burgers, but they're. In-N-Out burgers are pretty much the same as Five Guys burgers to me. And the key edge In-N-Out has there is they're like a little more affordable than Five Guys are. Cause you can't get out of Five Guys like under $15 these days.
Yeah.
Oh, finally, definitive answer. Your least favorite fast food and chain restaurant. Not either, not one in each, just overall your least favorite out of all of them.
Probably Skyline. And, that's the easy answer, but it's just, it's not good and people seem to like it. A lot of people seem to dislike it, but they've been in business and they're still in business and they'll still be in business. I don't get who these Skyline chili likers are.
I think if I had to pick, probably Applebee's. I think that's my final pick. Just because they're everywhere. I don't like the tchotchke theme. I don't like their food. And it always gives me poo-poo diarrhea, so no.
Well, that's why I'm picking Buffalo Wild Wings. I've never not eaten there and been sick. It's disgusting. It's gross. And I know we've just sectioned off three places that'll never sponsor us, but I don't want to. They're disgusting. I don't like Buffalo Wild Wings. So that's been talk about food on this movie podcast.
Let's tie it into a movie. Hey, let's play this before the segment, but not really. Hey, Jeff, I was watching Pulp Fiction again the other day, and they start talking about burgers in Paris, and it got me thinking, like, what's some food stuff that, based on this movie concept, we can think of?
That's great. What a great point. So, speaking of movies, Donnie's going to be on this week at Donnie Does World, one of the funniest dudes on Twitter and on social and on the internet, period. He suggested a couple movies for us to watch that he has seen or heard of over in China. One is called The Mermaid. You can find a way to look that up online and watch it. I highly suggest you do it. Another one is Wolf Warrior 2. Might be a little harder to get, but we're going to try to explain what we think happens in these movies. And there's two you can watch. One is The Great Wall that did come out in the United States. That was an American movie. That's with Matt Damon. And then another one called Dragon Blade. And those are both on HBO. So you guys have no excuse to not watch those. Watch Dragon Blade and The Great Wall. We'll try to talk about those the most. We're going to review those movies. We're going to talk about movies over in other countries, how they translate. Donnie has a funny story about being an extra in a movie. And we're going to talk about movies that have their titles translated into different languages and then what they translate back into English, because there's some pretty funny ones. The way some movies are referred in other languages can be pretty funny. So, yeah, we got those, and that's about it. We're nearing the end of the year, and we're nearing The Last Jedi. And don't worry, we're going to have a big Last Jedi episode. We're going to rank the prequels. We're going to talk about them and break them down with a special guest. And it's going to be a good time. And the week after this next one, we're going to do The Disaster Artist. So if you have time to go see The Disaster Artist, see it. Highly suggest, if you've never seen The Room, you watch The Room before seeing Disaster Artist. You don't need to see The Room, but it will improve your experience by a lot.
Fair enough. I'm going to watch The Room. I actually haven't seen The Room.
Really?
I've seen clips.
I didn't realize.
I've watched like 45 minutes worth of clips from The Room, so I've seen parts of The Room, but I've
even
never
that
watched
is helpful.
The Room.
Even if you can't get a hold of The Room, there are tons of clips on YouTube. So even if you just do that. But that's it. So Trill Ballins, LCP Ken Jack, I'm Jeff Lowe. This has been Real Dump, our mini podcast, and we'll talk to you later in the week.